Well, bless the Lord. Proverbs 19 and verse 17. If you need a loan, you can't get one. If you don't need one, you can get one. We live in a weird financial world today. Oh, seriously, you probably could get a loan. You just got to know somebody. And you've got to have a great relationship. And you do have to have some things in order to get a loan today. See, you need good credit if you're going to get a solid loan today. But I got a deal for you today you can't pass on. I don't need you to take a loan. I need you to make a loan today. So, preacher, I don't have anything to loan. Oh, yes, you do. Proverbs 19 and verse number 17 says this. He who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he, that is God, will repay him for his good deed. Let's read that verse out loud all together and be reminded of Proverbs 19:17 again. Here it is. Let's read it. Read it with me. He who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. He that lends to the Lord. You give a loan unto the Lord when you are gracious to a poor man. Jesus said in Matthew 26:11, you will have the poor among you always. You do a good thing when you are gracious to the poor. I want to talk to you about poverty for a few minutes this morning. It's not a comfortable subject. But the Bible is filled with it. The poor. Poverty. I want to say three things this morning right out of this text. Notice what the writer of Proverbs says. Now hear me. The Proverbs are not Bible promises. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That is not a promise. It's a proverb. Because there have been many children that have been trained up in the way they ought to go, and they've never come home. You say, well, the Bible's not true. No, no. You just don't understand. The proverbs are not promises. The proverbs are great general wisdom truths and principles. They're what you ought to live your life by. A promise is God is faithful. That's a promise. I will never leave you or forsake you. That's a promise. But the Proverbs are overarching general principles. And this general principle teaches us that we should be gracious to the poor. Three things I want you to see out of this text. Number one, the poor are people. The poor are real people. The poor are people you know. The poor are flesh and blood, just like you. The poor have mamas and daddies, just like us. Matthew 11, 4 and 5, when Jesus was going forth, he was going, and as he went, they came and asked him, what should we tell John the Baptist? And Jesus said in Matthew 11, 4 and 5, tell John that the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Amen. All through the gospel, you'll find Jesus saying, we preach the gospel to everyone, but he mentions others, and what he mentions in that grouping always is the poor. In Mark's gospel, chapter 12, in verse 42, we meet a real woman who is people just like us, and she is poor. You know, when they took the offering in the New Testament, there were trumpets, big silver trumpets, and people come put their money in it. And Jesus stood by watching the offering. I always wanted to be in church that day when Jesus watched the offering. I think I'd have got nervous. I got news for you. He watched the offering at Olive this morning. Both of them. And he said, a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins. He went on to say she gave more than anybody because she gave everything she had. There are poor people who come to church here and put in offerings. They're real people. The poor are people. They are real people. In Luke 14, verses 12 through 14, when Jesus told them to go out and he said, throw a party, have a festival. And he said, invite people to come in. And he didn't say invite Herod nor the governor. He said, invite the poor and the wretched. Olive, we will do a wrong thing if we're to the place where the poor are not invited to church function. Jesus said, go out and invite them and include the poor. Now, I want you to take your Bible. I want you to turn to this one in Galatians chapter 2. Everybody turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2, verses 9 and 10. Galatians 2, verse 9 and 10. Paul is speaking to the church at Galatia. Look what he said. He said, in recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we might go to the Gentiles and they would go to the circumcised. They only ask us to remember the poor, the very thing I was also eager to do. Peter, the founder of the church, that first man that Jesus said, Peter, it's on your confession I'm going to build my church. He said to Paul, don't forget the Jewish poor as we do not, or don't forget the Gentile poor as we will not forget the Jewish poor, the poverty stricken. Remember the poor. I hear this all the time. The poverty line. What is the poverty line? I know what the goal line is. So does Tim Tebow. I know where the goal line is. I know where the first down line is. Tim Tebow doesn't know that, but I do because they got it marked on the field for me. He can't see it, but I can see it. I know where the out of bounds line is. Amen. I know where the I can talk about my wife without getting in trouble line is. How do I know that? Because I've been on the other side. But the poverty line, I hear all about the poverty line. As so many people live below the poverty line. I've never been below the poverty line. I don't live below the poverty line. Part of my problem is I don't know enough people that live below the poverty line. What is the poverty line? I found two definitions of it this week in my research. The one I choose is this. The poverty line equals lacking resources to meet the basic needs for healthy living. When someone lacks resources to meet the basic needs of healthy living, they then reside below the poverty line. Well, that's just a bunch of mishmash. The Census Bureau says that for a family of three to be able to meet the basic needs of healthy living, a family of three, an adult, two children, or two adults and one child, that family of three, if they do not make $17,600, 17,600, they are below the poverty line. And for every other person in the family, add $3,600 to that and you find the poverty line according to the Census Bureau. In Escambia County, Florida, where we worship right now, 16% of the people in Escambia County live below the poverty line. The national average in America is 13.3. The Florida average is 12.9. The Escambia average is 15.9. You live in a poor county. Listen to this. If a female is the head of a home and has one or more children in Escambia County, that woman and her child or children 42% of the time live below the poverty line. Mamas with kids and no daddy. 42 out of 100 of them live below the poverty line. In Escambia County, Florida, where we reside, 42,935 people are said to live below the poverty line. 42,000. 66% of those, of our citizens, do not have health insurance. Most of the time because they live below the poverty line. The poor are real people. And the poor live in your neighborhood and my neighborhood. The poor live next door to Olive Baptist Church. The poor, they don't just live in Watts and in the Bronx on the north side of Chicago and downtown Atlanta. They live in Escambia County, Florida. The poor are real people. He that is gracious to the poor. But not only do we see that the poor are real people, this proverb says that those that are blessed should be gracious to the poor. This doesn't mean y'all just hand out money. It means y'all be, look at this word. He who is gracious to a poor man. Gracious. The word gracious in the Hebrew language here is the word shenah. C-H-A with a across the top of it. N-A-N. The emphasis is on the first day. Sha. C-H-A. None. Sha, none. He who is sha, none. 51. Hear me. 51 names in the Old Testament find their root in this verb. Hannah. Anna, Nan, Nancy, Anita, John, Jean, Juan, Hans, Jan, and get this, Ivan. Mean gracious. Bless God where we're from, Ivan ain't gracious, is he? But the root of that name, and many of you in this building are named Gracious. My son is John Bennett. That's gracious. Frank Lay's wife is named Nancy. That's supposed to be gracious. I get a witness, Brother Frank. He say a word. He's been over that line too. Amen. Many of us are named this word Shunan. Let it go out that Olive Baptist Church takes the root of her name in graciousness. Let it forever be said about the body of Christ that meets at 1836 Olive Road in Pensacola, Florida. We are a gracious people. It must never be said that we hoard, that we are people that are not well understanding of the blessing of Almighty God unto us. And when we have been blessed, we must be gracious, gracious, gracious people. Turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy 15. Turn over there, all right? Over to nearly the front of your book. Deuteronomy 15. Look at this. Deuteronomy 15 and verse number 7. Deuteronomy 15, 7. Deuteronomy 15, 7, if there is a poor man with you, one of your brothers, in any of your towns, in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor close your hand from your poor brother. But you shall freely open your hand to him, and shall generously lend sufficient for his need in whatever he lacks. Beware, lest there is a base thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of remission is near, and your eyes hostile toward your poor brother, and you give him nothing. Then he may cry to the Lord against you, and it will be a sin in you. You shall generously give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all your understandings, for the poor will never cease to be in the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall freely open your hand to your brother, to your needy and poor in your land. Olive, we must never close our hands, never close our heart, but open our hand as we are gracious, gracious, gracious people. Our little children down here in the children's building are taught Bible stories. One of the stories they'll be taught is the one we call the Good Samaritan. How that a man was walking from Jerusalem, coming down to Jericho. You ever been to Israel and rode down that hill? That's a snaky road. That man walked from way up on the mountain down to the beautiful valley in Jericho. And on the way down, he got waylaid. The preacher came by and did nothing. The minister of music came by and did nothing. But the Good Samaritan, religious people passed by, but the Samaritan came, and the Bible says he got his hands dirty, he got his heart opened, and he got his wallet available. His heart was moved. Dear friend, you'll never do anything for the poor till your heart's moved. All starts with your heart being moved. Then you got to get your hands dirty. Olive, won't you hear me? In the next 12 to 24 months, we'll have more people coming by this place for needs than ever. We are almost run over here every day. But it's opportunity for the gospel every time you walk through this building. And out in the Karis house, I'm telling you, and in the church and community ministries, we need scores of volunteers. I want you to hear me. If you're retired and you've got time on your hands, I need you. I need you to answer phones out there. I don't need just anybody. I need somebody that can be gracious to people, that can say yes and can say no, but when you say no, that you say no with grace. We don't have enough money to give everybody everything they think they want or need, and that's not our job. But our job is to be gracious to people. We must be gracious, as the Good Samaritan was gracious. In a harbor of New York, there stands a statue. She has a lamp in her hand. How many of you have seen the Statue of Liberty with your own eyes, been to New York Harbor and seen it? Yeah. There's an inscription on the Statue of Liberty. Emma Lazarus, a Jewish poet, wrote the words that were placed there. When I was a senior in high school, I had a basketball scholarship to Northeast State Junior College. And then they had a speech contest for a scholarship to Northeast State Junior College. And I entered the speech contest. And I won. And I got the scholarship to Northeast State. As a matter of fact, I had 1.5 scholarship per year my first 2 years. I got my tuition, plus I got cash. Then I got my books, and I sold my books. I didn't keep none of that junk. I sold every one of them. Amen. I figured, why would a preacher ever need an English book? I sold mine. Lord, I wish I'd have kept some of that. When I got ready to make my speech, my mother, who has a high school education, helped me write my speech. And my close of my speech was Emma Lazarus' words. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. The wretched refuse. I didn't even know what refuse was. Of your teeming shores. Send these, the homeless, the tempest tossed to me. And I lift my lamp beside the golden door. That's how we built America. Immigrants. America's changed today because now immigrants come and try to blow us up. So the harbors had to change. America's had to change. Policy must change, but I'm telling you, our spirit in the church of the living God must ever say what Emma Lazarus had to say. The tired, the poor, the huddled masses, the wretched refuse of teeming shores, the homeless, the tempting toss that are yearning to be free. We've got a golden door, and we've got a lamp, and we've got to lift it so that people can know somebody cares about them. It's our job. It's what Jesus told us to do. The poor are real people. And we that are blessed should be gracious people. Gracious people. I was at a ball game last night, trying to find something to drink. I mean, there's people everywhere. There's a young man came down, had the cold drinks. I said, how much? He told me about 3 prices, what it ought to be. I pulled out money out of my wallet, and somebody had been gracious to give me my tickets. So I gave him 6 prices for what that cold drink was. I said, just keep it. It's a young black man with a sock on his head, wretched old looking clothes. Now understand, his jeans with holes in them probably cost more than my suit this morning. If you bought those jeans, you know what I'm talking about. But in the midst of all that stuff, I said, thank you, just keep it. He looked at me like, you're an idiot. But he reached out, thank you. You know, sometimes we need to give just so God reminds us how good we got it. Yeah. So you say, I bet he went and bought liquor with that. I don't know what he did with it. There's a judgment coming. God will handle that part. I'm going there too. So are you. You're never more like Jesus than when you're giving. See, I was at that game and I was needing something to make me like Jesus. Amen. I was. But some of us get more upset when our team loses than when the poor go hungry. We'll stand the judgment for that. Those that have been blessed should be gracious. That's why we had White Christmas. All these are gift cards. We think. What they told us, wasn't it, Doc? And all that up there, there's a bunch more. Somebody asked me the question. Pastor, would it be okay if I brought my white Christmas gift tonight? Well, okay. Sure, you can bring it tonight. We're going to leave all that up there tonight. That'll be good. It'll be a backdrop for what we're going to sing tonight. And we'll clear it tomorrow. There's some little boys that never have had Christmas going to have Christmas this year. There's some little girls that wouldn't have had anything except you've given it so they can have it. There's some folks that in April won't have food, but because you've brought it, they'll have it. That's what White Christmas is about. Jean Ray taught me a long time ago. God knows she taught me a lot. Miss Jean, who's dead and in heaven today, she'll smile at this. Miss Jean said, preacher, if any Sunday school class comes and asks me, we need a needy family to help for Christmas, I tell them in no uncertain terms, get out of my office. Because if you don't know a needy family in August, don't come be a hypocrite at Christmas time. Whew. She lit me up like a Roman candle. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean Miss Jean is right every time. She can be mean as the devil. Hard. She needed to soften a little bit of that. Because we had some folks that didn't know poor people, but they wanted to. They're just scared. And sometimes just getting them in the door would help them. That's what White Christmas is about. Now watch this. If you really want to get blessed, come right down through here and bring a white box. It'll encourage you. But now if you want to get a double portion, get on the team that takes it to somebody. You walk in that old nasty house and sit down on that couch. Three dogs and four cats. Amen. You in that trailer where the wind blows through. You let them little kids come crawl up on you. God will fill your cup. He will. That's when you'll get helped. Because it's still more blessed. There's a bigger blessing to give than there is to receive. Amen. Those that are blessed should be gracious. I got to hurry. We got one more thing to say about this text. He said he is gracious to the poor. The poor are real people. He's gracious. He's blessed. Should be gracious. Lends to the Lord. I want you to understand, number three, friend, the Lord will make provision for you as you give. Amen. He says he will repay him for his good deed. Remember, this is not a promise. It's a great general overarching principle. But God will make a way when you give. In your Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at this, or you can see it come up on the screen, I think. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Let each one of you do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for the Lord loves a," hilarious is the word, "hilarious giver, and God," verse 8, "is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he that scattereth abroad, he giveth to the poor, his righteousness abides forever." What that says, friends, if you give, God gives back so you can give again. God gives back so you can give again. God gives back so you can give again. He that sows sparingly, that's how you reap. But he that gives in abundance, God will bless in abundance. One of the stories in Scripture about a poor man is Luke 16. Luke 16 is about a poor man sitting by the gate begging alms. I don't know if you've seen a beggar lately. It's tough. The rich man walked by every day. Well, I have nothing to do with him. Matter of fact, the Bible says that that man in Luke 16 begged for crumbs from his table. After you get done with lunch today, watch what leaves the table. Watch what leaves the table. The preacher, are you trying to make us guilty of this? No. I'm just trying to get you to take an inventory. Watch what leaves. The beggar just wanted some crumbs from the table. And the Bible says that the poor man, his name is Lazarus, he died and he went to heaven. He had believed on the Lord Jesus. But the rich man, who did not believe, died and went to hell. And the Bible says in hell he lifted up his voice and he cried out, "Abraham! Lord, send somebody just to put their finger in the water and touch it to my tongue. Lord, send somebody back to my brothers and tell them to believe and don't come to this place." And God said if they would not believe the prophets, how would they believe if I sent one of yours? The poor man believed. Do you know the gospel really has always been a poor man's gospel? Really has. I got to thinking after I watched Thanksgiving that they had every year at the Dallas Cowboys game, and I like Dallas. I do. I usually pull for Pittsburgh, but today they play my team. So I don't know. I'll just watch and smile. Every year at the halftime at the Thanksgiving Day, they have a Salvation Army blowout. And they had it this year, and it was weird. And I remember a few years ago, they had Shania Twain singing at the Salvation Army halftime. I couldn't figure that out. I just wonder what William Booth would have thought about that. He's the guy who started the Salvation Army. And so I went to the homepage, and I looked at how he got started. I really hadn't read the story in a while. And William Booth started in 1852, desiring to win the lost multitudes of England to Christ. We've got a man in this service today from England who's a church planter there. William Booth walked the streets of London to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the poor, the homeless, the hungry, and the destitute. He abandoned the conventional concept of a church and a pulpit, took his message to the people. His fervor led him to disagreement with the church leaders in London who preferred traditional methods. 100 years ago, they was arguing about this. As a result, he withdrew from the church and traveled throughout England, conducting evangelistic meetings with his wife, Catherine. In 1865, he held a series of evangelistic meetings east end of London, set up a tent in the Quaker graveyard. Wow, what a place to have church. His services became an instant success. This proved to be the end of his wanderings as an independent traveling evangelist, renowned as a religious leader. Spread throughout London, he attracted followers who were dedicated to fight for the souls of men and women. Thieves, prostitutes, gamblers, drunkards were among Booth's first converts to Christianity. To congregations who were desperately poor, he preached hope and salvation. His aim was to lead people to Christ and link them to a church for further spiritual guidance. If we are not careful, we will forget the destitute and the poor and the lost, and we'll start ringing a bell in front of high-dollar big-box stores. And somehow, if we're not careful, we will disengage from the gospel. We dare not meet the needs with white Christmas without sharing the story of Christmas. We dare never, ever to give a dollar without speaking about the divine Son of God. We dare never to reach out with just one hand, keeping the gospel hand behind our back. We must have a hand of good works and a hand of good news, always bringing those two things together. Because, friend, not only is there a poor man that died and went to heaven, there's a rich man who died and went to hell. And a poor man can die and go to hell just as well if he does not believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our job is not just to give, but it is also to give the gospel. The gospel. That's what Christmas is about. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The hopes and fears, the hope of heaven, the fear of earth, is met in Jesus. Church, I'm going to make a pledge to you. I'm going to fast forward the clock 12 months from now. You can come ask me. You say, how do I remember? Just remember, it's first Sunday in December. It's when the SEC championship game will be. It's when the end of football will be. I'm going to know more poor people next year than I've known this year. And I'm going to know them on a first name basis. I'm going to do a better job of knowing some folk that are without that I've done this year. I'm going to keep a list. I'm going to give some gifts. And I'm going to make Miss Jean smile because I'm going to know them in April, not just at Christmas time. The gracious lend to the poor, and the Lord, is going to meet your need and give it back. That's a loan we ought to give, don't you think? I think we ought to lend to the Lord by giving to the poor and watch God give back unto us. It's what Ministry Village is about. It's what White Christmas is about. It's what International Missions is about. It's what Waterfront Rescue Mission is about. It's what the Career Development Center is about. It's what the Caris House is about. It's what we must be about. This morning you're in this room and you've never trusted Jesus. I want you to hear me. God so loved the world, He gave His Son. And if you would give your life unto Christ, He died for you. He'll save you. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus, we're going to invite you to come and trust Him today. If you're here and you've never joined this church and all to do it, we're going to invite you to come. Because the Lord loves you. He cares for you. And He gave His life for you. Be you rich or poor or the great middle class, Jesus cares for you. Jesus is tenderly calling, and He's waiting just now for you.